Hello everybody, my name is Rachel McAdams. I am a famous actress and absolute superstar. I live in Hollywood, California. Of course, where else am I going to live? You maybe know me from some of my famous movies like The Notebook, for example. Oh, let me tell you, the time on the set was amazing. The team was absolutely fabulous. And the director and the producers loved me. And oh, did I forget to tell you? My leading man in the movie was Ryan Gosling.
Welcome to Language and Culture with Dr. J, and welcome back, Leah. This past month, you completed 4 fun assignments. You observed your English-speaking colleagues and wrote down some of their mannerisms. You pretended to be a Hollywood movie star. You read and interpreted an Emily Dickinson poem, and you got to dress and act like an American. Welcome, Leah. Tell us about this month of fun.
Yes, hello. It was a really fun month, and all of the 4 assignments were better than the month before because it was a fun month.
Okay, so let me right now play the recording you made about your colleagues. So you were supposed to take a week and write down what they say, you know, what little fillers they use, how do they agree, how do they disagree, how do they win time. These are colleagues who speak English either as a native tongue or with near native fluency. So let me play that right now, and then we'll talk about that for another second.
Hello, Dr. J. This week, I had to tune into how my colleagues speak English, and here is what I found. When my colleagues agree with someone, they say, for example, totally, okay, absolutely, I would appreciate that. When they express their dissatisfaction, they say, for example, I don't agree or I disagree, that's a bad idea, I'm not sure, we must find a better solution. When my colleagues use little phrases for being late or for not understanding something, they say, I'm sorry for being late, I deeply apologize, I'm sorry I didn't catch that, I don't understand you, or could you say that again? Sometimes when my colleagues use fillers, for example, when they are saying nothing, they say something like, okay, well, right, or here we go. I think there are much more phrases and fillers, but this is what I found out for this week. So have a nice day and goodbye.
So we just listened to the recording. Do you think you'll ever use these phrases yourself?
I think some of them are phrases that that could be in the future in my English speak at work.
So in your repertoire?
Yes, in my repertoire. I think yes. Some of them.
So do you think, I mean, this is how children learn, by emulating, by imitating. Do you think it's a good way, or do you think as an adult, it's not so effective?
It is an add-on, I think. So it is not the only way or the best way for an adult to learn English, but I think it is a good assignment, and it is an add-on to hear and to look how your English-speaking colleagues do sentence, because they are much more into it, how we use phrases at work. They use the right words for specific assignments or documentations or tools we use. So it could work, and for me it were an add-on.
And I think that's one of the things that I wanted you to notice, is that this is readily available to us. We can do this also, obviously, from news programs, from, you know, so from listening to the news, from watching TV, from watching movies, from observing other colleagues. And that's something that I encouraged you already before to do, to keep a journal, which you're keeping already, but to write your own dictionary. And I think also, you know, imagine that you have finished this year with me and you feel like your English is at a level where you feel comfortable and you start using it. I think the learning process never stops. So I think I speak German pretty darn well by now, but I still, like, I really daily add something on, or where I try to better it. And it's also something with our native language. The other day, for example, I had a student who was visiting from the US, and he was really eloquent. He had worked on a lot of political campaigns. So he had this kind of political English that I am not in contact with really that much. And I find it great. You know, I was like, oh, you know, how does he express himself? So I think it's just never stops. And I think we have to have the humility and be humble enough to say, it's okay.
Yes. Yes, I agree. It's really good.
Okay, so that's just a, you know, a learning process and a continued, you know, to be continued, this
yes,
observing your colleagues. But now tell us a little bit more about this assignment that you really liked. I'm going to play the recording right now. This is you as Rachel McAdams.
Hello, everybody. My name is Rachel McAdams. I am a famous actress and absolute superstar. I live in Hollywood, California. Of course, where else am I going to live? You maybe know me from some of my famous movies, like The Notebook, for example. Oh, let me tell you, the time on the set was amazing. The team was absolutely fabulous. And the director and the producers loved me. And oh, did I forget to tell you? My leading man in the movie was Ryan Gosling. And we had so much kissing scenes, I lost count. It was awesome. After the movie, we became a couple for a few years. It was such a great time. But now, I am here to promote my new movie with Chris Evans. Isn't he handsome? So tell me, what are your questions, darling?
Okay, so how was it to hear yourself again? So your assignment was to write this little tiny introduction or tiny little paragraph as if you were a star, one of the stars of your choice. So how was it? How was this now?
I feel great with it. So the first sentence was a little bit awkward, and then I got into it and it was really funny, and I have so much ideas, and I looked at the film The Notebook the weeks before, so it was right in my mind, everything about it, and so it was really easy for me to feel like her, because I see her in the movie that I read and look in English to improve my English more. So it was the first time for me to see the movie in English. And so it was really funny. I like it very much. And it was really easy for me to write down the sentence.
Mm. And again, just to explain a little bit the purpose of the exercise. I mean, one was just to kind of give you a break from doing grammar and sort of, you know, change it up, vary it up. But the other is also, again, this imitation, right, of sort of a star. How would you do it? How would you play along with it? Because this is what you missed out on as a child, you know, as a child having acted like this person or that person or this princess or that whatever cowboy or whatever, you know, whatever. This is something that you never had the chance to play with the language. So this was kind of to remind you to always try to play with the language. And the other thing is, especially when we're speaking a foreign language, I think we have to, or at least maybe I would change that and not say we have to, but I think it is very helpful to allow ourselves, or even make ourselves at the beginning especially, to become a new person. So to kind of, I think sometimes it is, and again, it depends on, I mean, if a language comes easily to you, then it just comes easily to you. But if you do have difficulty, I think it's really helpful to pretend you're someone else, because then you don't have, you know, sort of you to distance yourself a tiny bit. And this is your English persona or English speaking persona. As a tool to kind of, you know, to open your mouth and not be nervous about, you know, yeah. So that's kind of the purpose of this, that we ultimately are kind of actors when we play at speaking a foreign language, initially, especially.
I agree. It was like you say.
Okay, well, so then you told us already about the assignment that you didn't like. And of course, this is kind of, you know, literary interpretation. So you read a poem, an Emily Dickinson poem, and you wrote your interpretation. I'll play that right now.
A Thought Went Up My Mind Today by Emily Dickinson. A thought went up my mind today that I have had before, but did not finish some way back. I could not fix the year. Nor where it went, nor where it came the second time to me, nor definitely what it was, have I the art to say. But somewhere in my soul I know I've met this thing before. It just reminded me it was all and came my way no more. Emily Dickinson's poem is about a thought she had. For me, it seems like she had something like a déjà vu, and it's now remembering image or thought she had once had. The lines are clear and simple, so it is easy to understand the poem. I'm not sure if the poem has a deeper meaning. I guess I feel like it probably does, but then again, it is also possible that Emily Dickinson only wants us to think there is a deeper meaning. Perhaps it is through our own interpretation that the poem gains in meaning. Or maybe Emily Dickinson is just making fun of poetry and the poem is a literary joke. I am not sure whether or not I like the poem. My gut feeling is that I dislike it, and this is because I have no deeper feelings when I read it.
And, you know, Emily Dickinson is one of my favorite poets, but I guess it's, as they say in German, Geschmackssache, right? I mean, you have to like her style and her way of writing. And I don't think she spoke to you too much.
Not at all. like some of the poems of Emily Dickinson, but this poem I didn't know. Mm. And it was really difficult for me to write down an interpretation how I feel, because I don't get a connection to the poem. And I sit there and read it. And they, oh no, I don't feel anything.
Yeah.
I can't connect with her in the poem, and I can't see what her see maybe. And so it was only perhaps she means, perhaps maybe this, and not like I think she's she means da 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 da. So it was, yes, it was not so easy for me. Maybe it is better with another poem of her, but this was really difficult.
Mm. You know what my favorite poem from her is? It's a 4-line poem. It goes, sometimes with the heart, seldom with the soul, scarcer with the might, few love at all. Mm. Would you have liked that one more?
Yes. That had more meaning for me, a little bit more feelings.
Okay, so your final assignment this month was to act, dress, speak, and yeah, try to come close as possible to being American. And I don't know how this went, so tell us about that.
I think it was a really funny assignment, and it was really a schade.
A pity, sorry, yes.
It was really a pity for me because I was so much at homework and not in my office, so I can't play my role outside my flat. So it was only this week for me to feel and to think about how an American woman would act.
Oh no, you had home office the whole time?
Yeah.
Yesterday
I was in the office and I tried it a little bit, but my colleagues also look at me, are you okay? So I explained them, it is an English homework for me, and I have to act like an American woman, and this is how I think an American woman would talk to them, and they found it a little bit awkward, I think.
I love it. So what did you do? How did you dress differently, or what did you change?
In my opinion, an American woman is dressed sporty, a little bit leisure. Is it also English?
Like what you said, comfortable, informal, maybe.
Yes, I don't wear high heels or something like that. That is not in my wardrobe on the other days as well. But I feel sporty and comfortable, a little bit chic.
Yeah, chic. You can say elegant.
Elegance, yes. And for me, an American woman is also healthy in food and in sport activities. So I eat my my vegetables and my salad. I do this as a German woman also, but as an American, I feel more healthy and I drink my my water with my curcuma and I don't know the English word for wie heißt es? Ingwer?
Ginger.
Ah, ginger, of course. And my ginger tea. And yes, and I feel very healthy this day. So for me, it's an American woman is sporty, healthy, and communicate with the colleagues more than a German woman would do. And yes, I do more sports this week because in my opinion, it is a sporty woman. So I did very much sport activities. Yes, and I like it. So it was good.
Yeah, I think you're making quite a compliment to American women. That sounds very nice. Athletic, yes. Elegant, but not formal, open, sporty, athletic, healthy. Well, that's very nice to hear. So how did you speak differently to colleagues? That interests me a lot.
I ask more of them, how do you feel? How do you like? How do you... Something like that. So more communicate with small talk.
And did they react well?
They feel it as something strange because it was awkward for them that I speak English to them. Because normally I speak German to my German colleagues and they found it a little bit strange that now I speak English to them. And they also have problems with speaking English and they were a little bit shy and found it strange that I speak English.
That's very interesting because that's really interesting because you know your assignment wasn't necessarily to speak English. This was about mannerisms. So you could have just spoken like an American. So
I spoke as an American woman, I speak English.
But that's great. Yeah, okay. But this is the first time that you really took the initiative to speak English at the office.
Yes, but only with my colleagues I feel comfortable with, not with the colleagues I have to speak with business talks. It was really the small talks with my colleagues next to my office room.
The ones that you're kind of friends with as well.
Yeah. A little bit friends. And the colleagues are all young girls, much younger than me, and they found it really silly and funny that I speak English to them, but their English is not so good, so it was more like they were impressed, but found it funny that I came in and say, hello, and how are you today? I speak English.
That's great. Well, yeah. I really encourage you to keep doing that. And if it helps you to sort of, I mean, actually, I would love it if you kind of just did it every once in a while, because if you didn't have the chance to be at the office at all, then you didn't get to practice this or implement this exercise, this assignment fully. So you could actually take it over into other weeks, but you could try both. You could try acting American, especially in these interactions, right? In these speaking interactions or writing correspondence, I guess, maybe as well. But you could actually try to do it in German and just change the style. And then other times do it as in English, as if you were, you know, quote unquote American.
Okay.
So that'd be interesting to kind of report back on in future weeks and future interviews to see how that went as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so normally I use these interviews or these episodes to also give you your lessons. But this month we wanted to have a little bit of a break and remember how much Well, it sounds a bit cliche to say it, but learning a language or foreign language is really exciting. It should be really exciting. So, yeah, also working on your language skills in your own native tongue is really satisfying, in my opinion. Whether you're improving your style or working on public speaking or just adding to your vocabulary, for example. But we are not going to do a typical lesson this time. But I will give you the lessons that I have come up with for you in one of your weekly assignments. So you will have the learning effect and the benefit of a lesson that way, but we're not going to do it in this interview today. And the listeners can, of course, follow along on my Instagram channel as well, at CulturiumDRJ. So let's move on a bit. We always record our lessons in the evening when you and I both get off work, but you always receive your weekly assignments early in the morning, right before our working day start. And this fine morning, you did not receive anything because I already sent you the assignment 1 week ahead because it's an extensive assignment. So that you'd have a little bit more time. Would you tell us a little about what you have to do for next week? And it's a lot.
Yes, it is really a lot. So it was really good, a good idea to get these assignment 2 weeks before. I have a little bit of grammar to do. So I have to write, for example, in all English grammar times. Is this the right word?
The tenses, yeah. Have you started on it?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
You're done?
Yes. This weekend is really much to do with private dates. So I have to use the last Sunday to do my homework. So I'm ready.
Yes. You're ready. Okay. And then you'll send it to me and then I'll correct it and then you can record it. Yeah. Okay.
I want to send it after our interview to you. Yes.
Yeah. And how was it? So if you're already done, how was it doing it? Was it difficult? Was it also very satisfying? You know, especially after doing silly assignments, do you find it more meaningful or like you're kind of, which type of assignment do you feel like you are improving more with?
The one that was easier for me was the first one with to write a sentence with special words, like something comfortable lessons. This was quite easy for me. So I wrote it down in a few minutes and it was okay for me. The one that was the most challenging for me was with the sentence, the English grammar.
The tenses.
Yes, I don't like it and I don't know if I do it right and I feel very uncomfortable with this because every sentence was, oh, I don't think that I learn it ever as I don't get a connection to this. Mm-hmm. This is really, really difficult for me. Mm-hmm. I think I know I don't understand the grammar rules and it's really difficult for me to think that there's one day I think, yes, now I understand English grammar. Really difficult for me still.
Well, look, it's really funny. That's one of my favorite. I mean, I've told you that I don't really like teaching grammar, but one of the things that I love teaching is the tenses in French as well, in French and in English. I really, because I find that a lot of people really have difficulty with it. And the tenses are so culturally different, you know what I mean? Like it's a different approach to it. You can't completely translate it directly. And so I find it really opens an entire world when you do find, when it clicks, when it, you know, sort of go, oh, okay, I get it. So we'll definitely do a lesson on the tenses. And just another note to you, I mean, I always review your episode afterwards and listen to it because I want to concentrate on what you're saying. So I don't want to write down notes, take notes while you're speaking, you know, in the interview. But I can tell you, you're so fluent. You're so, okay, now you got nervous and didn't know what to say because it's about a mistake. But you really are so fluent. And it's, if we compare it to the first interviews, you're really just, you're talking, you're chatting, you're moving along. And your vocabulary is quite nice. And your pronunciation, I think, is also, I mean, there's some little mistakes there, but it's really quite good. But you really make a lot of mistakes on the tenses. I mean, basically, you stay in the present tense. Mm-hmm. And you don't go out of it. You don't really go out of it. Or if you go out of it, you kind of, you know, create your own tents.
I have my own. I have a Leah tents.
I like that. We'll put that at the beginning of the episode.
Yes, it's okay for me. I have my own tents. I don't need some roots here. I have my own.
Well, you know, why not? Maybe. Maybe they're just, you know, I mean, Shakespeare made up words. Why not Leah?
So, I think it's a great idea. And now I can English grammar when it's my own rules.
Yeah, exactly. English according to Leah. We'll just write down some rules and that's that. And sort of, you know, we'll try to impose it.
I think that's the best solution for me.
That's great. No, I think you will get it. But that's something definitely that we have to look at and focus on. And I don't know, we'll see how we do it. I'll try to give you some of the lessons just as assignments, but maybe we have to actually focus the next interview on just the tenses and iron those out, because this is something, you know, I've told you that a lot of the work has to be done alone, but then there's these things. That's what I mean with teaching being very much mentoring. You know, you have to see where you need help. And this is something where you might just, you know, I'm really bad with technology. I really freeze up. So when people say, oh, they just look, here's a tutorial, you can just follow the tutorial. Nah, because I freeze up. I can't even see the letters. I like, you know, I totally like it. My body rejects everything that says like that. But if someone sits there next to me and I feel like they're, you know, reading with me, or, you know, I don't know. And so I think it's the same thing. You know, if you have kind of this, whatever, little fear of the tenses, and then you're sitting there with your grammar book and you're like, this makes no sense. So I think, I mean, you can keep trying, you know, but then we'll do a lesson.
Yes. I think something that would help me is something like a Eselsbrücke for the different tenses.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I have a timeline that I use. I have like a, actually I'll have to, maybe that one we'll do over Zoom. And so you can actually see some of my images, or maybe I'll make a couple drawings, because it's just a stupid timeline that I use. And it's, it makes sense, you know, with the presence in the middle and then how you relate to it from there. So it,
But because I see the focus words that tell me, okay, you have to use this tense or you have to use this tense, and it doesn't make any sense for me. Why should I have maybe the present progressive when I read at the moment? I can't imagine that it is for me logical. It's late in the evening. I can't. Yes. So maybe with the timeline, it's easier for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think what I'll do is I'll make you a drawing, and then also for the listeners, then I'll post that drawing as well, and then you can listen to the episode and follow along, so you also see it once visually. It's nothing. It's no big deal. It's just a drawing with a few lines and a few arrows and a few. It's not, it's kind of Kunstwerk. I mean, it's just.
It sounds perfect.
It's perfect. <yeah. laughs> So since you already did your homework with the recording, really watch out for the pronunciation, right? For example, with comfortable, you're still going comfortable. And so really, let's try to, you know, in something, there are these like things, let's try to iron those out. So really, like for your ear, also train your ear to notice it and use this exercise to really perfect it. And also for your sentences, I might even add one or two sentences to what you wrote to kind of help you realize the sense of the tense already, you know, so we'll do that anyway. But do keep up. I think this routine thing is really important, these 10 minutes. So I understand that you didn't have time. You don't have time for this long, extensive work, but the habit, the routine has to be kept up with.
Yes, of course. My 10 minutes is no problem for the next week. No.
All right, Leah. So I look forward to the next month with you. And I really, truly thank you for your continued perseverance and your continued success, because I like seeing you succeed. So thank you. And that's a wrap for this episode. And here are Dr. J and
Leah, thank you all.
Signing out. Awesome.